to go when through. I ain't telling anything, and I'ma make sure I'ma do right by you. All that need tell me anything, and I'ma always come around and come and fight for you. I'm the king, so for it's going down tonight. They cannot tell me anything, nothing about you.
Nothing at all.
They are looking from the outside.
They are looking from the outside, ladies and gentlemen. This is your man, Benz Pharrell, with Thinking Out Loud. How's everybody doing tonight? How's everybody doing today? I don't know how you're going to receive this message from me, but you know I record spontaneously throughout the day. So sometimes it's daytime, sometimes it's nighttime. All right. Big thing going on in the social media world is Kendrick Lamar dissing the artist that we all know and most of us love, Drake. All right. Kendrick versus Drake. I don't even know if this is a publicity stunt. Looks like it. But Kendrick versus Drake. I'm looking at the social media news feed. I see Aiden Ross is like, hell nah. He's on Drake's side, apparently, obviously. And DJ Academics is like, hell nah. Well, he mostly is just instigating everything. He's like, what? Kendrick Lamar is a good artist. Kendrick Lamar, I will put him in the category of a conscious rapper or a book bag rapper. And Drake, he is like an all-around, all-American athlete. I'm just using an analogy to describe Drake's talent. Now, I am not a big Drake fan, all right? Not just because I dislike him or anything like that. I don't hate the brother or nothing like that. It's nothing but love over here. But he's not my favorite artist. My favorite artist is Jadakiss, Styles P, Nas, Biggie Smalls, Tupac, right in that order. You know? That's just the type of dude I am. You know, I'm a Jadakiss. I was born in Brooklyn. I love to be in 125th. I like to be on 110th. I like to be over here in 132nd. Malcolm X Boulevard. This is my favorite place in the world to be. I love Harlem. Harlem, Sugar Hill. Everything is beautiful to me about Harlem. You see what I'm saying? I'm just that type of dude. You see what I'm saying? Drake, on the other hand, he's good to me. He's like a super crazy ass artist, musician. You know, I can't even call him an artist. I gotta call him a dope ass musician. All right. And then he has the full package on entertaining on the music sector, and especially hip hop. And then he could do different. He's very versatile. He could do different styles of music. He could actually even do doggone dance hall. Or he could freaking do Afrobeat. This guy's all around. He could rap in a trap song, and then he could just jump back on some East Coast shit and start rapping like Jay-Z. He's a very versatile guy. Kendrick Lamar, on the other hand, he's like I said, he's a book bag rapper from the West Coast, which makes it phenomenal in its own way. Yes, you see what I'm saying? But I don't know about this right here. Can Kendrick say something very clever lyrically versus Drake? I don't really think so. I think Drake might have the upper hand. I'm pretty sure he does, and he's probably going to say something very clever lyrically to where people are going to be like, oh, snap, that motherfucker snapping on Kendrick. You know what I'm saying? I can definitely see that happen, but I don't know. Kendrick Lamar looks like he got something up his sleeve, the way that he put that diss track out. I listened to it, but I ain't listened to it in this whole entire, the whole entire song. I heard something here and there, but it wasn't anything that I think Drake would be worried about. But, and then This probably could be a publicity stunt, or it probably could be something that runs deep between the two entities, the two artists, the two Kendrick and Drake. We don't know if there's something in the past history there. See what I'm saying? They both mess with Jay-Z, both of them. Kendrick Lamar has a relationship with the Jigga Man, and Drake also as well has a relationship with the Jigga Man. I don't know. It could be something else there. But on a, you know, on a hip-hop beef level, can Kendrick Lamar get Drake? Probably, he probably can. He probably has been working on his skills. You never know. You know, he takes his sweet time coming out with an album. And Drake is like a goddamn, he's like a engineer that knows how to rap on steroids. You know what an engineer is? The person that freaking breaks down and produce the engineering board, the person that helps you conduct your musical notes. You know, Drake knows how to do that too. You see what I'm saying? He's a super crazy ass producer as well. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying, no diss to Kendrick Lamar. I'm not trying to say Kendrick Lamar is, like, he's dope too. You know, he's a very conscious rapper, and I respect that. And then on top of it, he's from the West Coast. Like, that makes it, like, real dope. That's how I'm looking at him. But Drake knows how to do so much things. This is crazy, you know? And plus, he's an engineer, and he writes music. I think that's a vicious combination right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, think about it. He's gonna take his time and write some lyrics and stuff. And he's gonna do his due diligence on Kendrick Lamar. You know he will. And then he's gonna lyrically put it down on that damn engineering board. That's what I'm saying, Drake. I don't know, bro. That's like a monster. That's like a three-headed dragon, if you ask me. Know what I'm saying? And then, like I told you already, I'm not no big Drake fan. You see what I'm saying? I'm just telling you from a technological standpoint where how I'm looking at this thing. This is my opinion, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people is going to agree with me. I am 100% sure of that. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, Kendrick Lamar is a dope artist. Like I said, he's something we ain't never seen before. A very conscious rapper, and he's from the West Coast. That's like real fucking dope. To me, it is. And then he has some killer major big hits. He even had that one hit song with SZA on the record. That song that was on the Black Panther soundtrack. You remember that song? I can't remember the name of the song, but you know, if you're listening to me carefully, I'm pretty sure you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? So Kendrick Lamar have some killer hits out there. But Drake, now let's jump on his catalog. Can we really compare the two? Gotta ask yourself that question. Yeah, you know, that's like something, I don't know. Drake is like a super. And then just how I started this conversation off, this probably a big publicity stunt for the two of them. So you never know, they're probably in cahoots behind closed doors. But we don't know. We don't know. This is just me taking a shot in the dark here. See what I'm saying? I'm trying to make sense of all of this. But like I said, I already explained my opinion and my take on this. I feel like Drake is an all-American freaking type of, not all-American, but he's an all-around musician, very talented, and plus he know how to engineer songs. When I use that word engineer, you know, the engineer, the person that's behind the board that mess with the frequencies and how to get the vocals correctly on the track, he knows how to do that. All right, so I know an artist that knows that knowledge right there is not to be reckoned with. That's somebody that's very vicious. And I'm pretty sure Kendrick Lamar knows how to do it too, because I do listen to his music and he looks like he has engineering capabilities as well. As I'm thinking about this, y'all know, like, oh yeah, because I'm not a big Kendrick Lamar listener. I don't really listen to Kendrick Lamar like that. You know what I'm saying? I told you already who I like to listen to. Today's modern rap, I listen to Future. I do listen to Meek Mills. Yes, I do. I do listen to Kodak Black. Yes, I do. I listen to Lotto because I believe she has major talent as well. Lotto is the first female rapper that caught my attention. All right? I'm not trying to diss none of the female artists whatsoever. Hell nah. You know what I'm saying? We had plenty of dope-ass female artists in this musical history in America and things. But when I first heard Lotto, I was like, wow, she's good. She's lyrically in there. She's a lyrical monster. And I am very, like entertained. And I'm happy that I witnessed this. I never thought that a female could rap and spit bars. You got your Easy Eve. Yeah, I like Eve. You got your Little Kim. Of course, I like Little Kim. Little Kim, you know what I mean? She, you know. And then Biggie Smalls wrote her lyrics as well. You know, I like the female rappers out there, the Nicki Minaj. I kind of look at Nicki Minaj. I don't know if she's going to get mad, but I kind of always looked at Nicki Minaj like a clown, like a rap, hip-hop artist clown and shit. She's, like, funny to me. I don't even know why she ain't taking the Queen Radio thing serious. She should do her own YouTube channel. I'm pretty sure it's going to do amazing, you know what I'm saying? Because she, has other gifts as well. Plus, I respect her music and everything, but you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I definitely like Glorilla. Glorilla is another unique female artist. Yup. Just like how I look at Lotto. I'm like, oh, Glorilla goes super hard. You know what I'm saying? But Lotto, the thing about Lotto is, I think she needs to get another producer that's very, like, a musical, like, what's the best producer that I can match up with Lotto? Baby from Cash Money. Baby. Oh, I believe if Baby ever produced for Lotto, Lotto is going to make a historic killer album that's going to go down in history. I believe that. I'm enthusiastic. I can't even pronounce it here, but fuck it. I deeply believe that Lotto and if Baby produce at least just one album. It don't even gotta be two, just one album. I bet you it's gonna go down in history. I put money on it. I believe it. But Lotto, she needs to keep. I like the old Lotto, the serious with her craft Lotto, not this chasing the clout. She ain't really chasing the clout, but now she be with the antics and shit like that. Well, I'm all for it at the same time, but it's kind of like making her forget about her lyrical craft, and I don't want her to forget about that. I want her to like put those lyrics down. And like I said, Jermaine Dupri, nah, cause Jermaine Dupri did work with Big Lotto since she was a child, especially in the rap shows. So we already got a taste of that. I think Metro Boom, Mike Will Make It. You know what I'm saying? Zaytoven. But those producers, yeah, but I feel like a bigger impact is gonna happen with Baby, including with those producers too, because I believe Baby could get that powerful substance out of Lotto. I think Lotto is a unique female rapper. She's incredible. I love her wordplay. It's wicked. She's on there. Really, I got a lot of respect for her. I just don't like all of the little antics that she be doing and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? I want her to be like super OG tough. You know what I'm saying? And she's a female. She's a cutie at the same time. I'm telling you, Lotto is a lyrical monster. I promise you. You know? And I really do believe this. I believe this a whole lot. If Lotto was to have guidance in production from Baby from Cash Money. Where's the other DJ? Manny Fresh, Dr. Dre, and DJ Khaled. Oh my God. Lotto is going to have one. I'm telling you, she's going to have a crazy ass album, and it's going to go down in history. I believe it. It's going to be historic. It's damn near going to be just where Lauryn Hill had hit the bar with the album of The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. I don't know if I said the name of the album, the title of that album correctly, but yeah, we remember Lauryn Hill. Lauryn Hill was a lyrical slaughterhouse. All right, but she was a conscious hip hopper, and she sing and things of that nature. You know what I'm saying? But Lotto, she's just like a rapper. You know what I'm saying? But she's very lyrical, and she caught my attention. You know, the way that she raps and talk all that shit go super hard. It's like she's a force to be reckoned with. All right, yeah. But Drake is different type of musician. I can't even say artist because that word is too small for Drake. All right, he's a very, very intuitive, very innovative musician. All right, I don't know if Kendrick, but like I said, Kendrick Lamar do possess the engineering skills as well. So this was probably going to be some real good battle between. It could get, because I'm not taking anything away from Kendrick Lamar at all. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, like, oh shit, Drake, from all of the projects that came out of Drake, you know, versus the projects that came out of Kendrick Lamar, I don't know, Drake looked like he's a monster, you know? He's a monster and he could get. And then he's very, like, and from coming from a musician, I'm not the best musician. I'm a real dope ass Haitian musician. I could do some real hard ass compa. I gave it my best to be in the music industry in America, but I can't do that. I can't compromise myself and stuff. And then I used to rap, but I don't want to rap about gangster shit because I'd rather rap about what I went through. And I think that's the only way. And then plus I got like a accent. When I be rapping, I got this like accent that sounds like I'm from London or from another place. So I'm like, everybody love rap, but nah. I'm like, nah, fuck that rap shit. Like, I'm gonna stick to the compa, the Guyard music. That's Haitian music right there. I'm gonna stick to that because I got a whole bunch of dope ass jazz. You know what I'm saying? And plus I need to go start working on that. I was talking about that from the last segment. Let me see what else is going on the social media world. Let me see what other news is going on over here. This is your man, Benz Pharrell with Thinking Out Loud, all right? P. Diddy, tired of talking about Puff Daddy. Tons of allegations on this guy. I already told y'all, I ain't never cared about Puff Daddy when he first came out. You know, when Biggie Smalls and Craig Mack, Flavor in Your Ear, when Craig Mack first came out, you know, because Puff Daddy always dancing in the background. And then ultimately he was like a dancer and a producer and things and stuff. He definitely know how to put things together. He has a crazy catalog, you know. All of these allegations are coming out. And like I said, I always looked at Puff Daddy as some type of guy. Like, I looked at him as a exec or production management. I never looked at Puff Daddy as a musician or as a singer or a rapper. You know, I always looked at him as the background, as the person handling the business affairs of these musical artists. That's how I always looked at Puff Daddy. Now, all of these allegations and all of these docu-series and documentaries about the man and the rants that I heard from, what's that lady name from Philadelphia? Jaguar Wright, you know, the things that she put together for us and told us, all the things that went with Andre Harrell and Heavy D. You know, and Puff Daddy is from Mount Vernon, all right? I don't even know why he's claiming Harlem. But Harlem is way south. Mount Vernon is super north, like you going to the going into the state of New York. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, Mount Vernon is still hood, still ratchet, just like the next hood and stuff like that. Ain't taking that away from Mount Vernon and things. And Puffy definitely went to college, and then he dropped out of college to work with Andre Harrell. There's allegations about him too, another CEO, executive, you know, for the music. So, even you know, allegations about Meek Mill and hanging out with Puff Daddy. I already told you how I feel about Meek Mill. Like, I never looked at Meek Mill as a street tough guy, you see. I don't even know too much about P. Diddy, Puff Daddy. I still got to research him, even though I went through all of the docuseries and hear other people's opinion about the man and things. And then the big civil suit that he just took care of between him and Cassie. You know, so, and he settled out of court real quick. That made him very suspicious looking. And then Cassie, here's my thing about this Cassie situation. Cassie looks like she was on dope. She was drugged up. That's a fact, because when she first was an artist and she was with Puff Daddy, she was really induced in freaking drugs. So she really wasn't even there. Looks like the Cassie we see today has her head together and looks like she had like an epiphany, and she looked back on what and all of the things that happened. And then Cassie was like, you know, this renewed Cassie was like, uh-uh. And she came out with a lawsuit. And P. Diddy settled very quick. I'm pretty sure Cassie has a whole bunch of information. I'm pretty sure Cassie knows a lot of secret things that Sean Combs doesn't want publicized. I believe that, you know. I believe Cassie was about to spill the tea for real, and he settled that, which make him all the more suspicious, you know. And then you got Suge Knight, he's in jail, and he got his own podcast. He's also spilling tea and things that he went through with Sean P. Diddy Combs, you know, a lot of. And then I remember one information that I received from these documentaries is that time when Christopher Wallace, a.k.a. Biggie Smalls, when he was in a bad car accident and he had a broken femur. And there was a night where he was supposed to travel and go to California, Los Angeles, to a party that Sean Combs wanted Christopher Wallace to attend. But Christopher Wallace didn't want to go to the party. And it's alleged that that Puff Daddy kept fighting with him to come to this particular party that was going down in Los Angeles. I'm not sure if it was Los Angeles, but I'm just paraphrasing what you hear. I'm trying to remember off top of my head all of the information. And it's alleged that he kept bothering Christopher Wallace, a.k.a. Biggie Smalls, to come to this particular party. And then Biggie was supposed to come travel overseas to this event. I forgot the guy that was trying to make him go overseas. And it looks like Christopher Wallace was going to go overseas to do a public, like he was going to show himself publicly in front of another audience in Europe. And it's alleged that Sean Combs, P. Diddy, stopped that and forced Christopher Wallace to come to this particular party and things like that. And then after all of that after all of the hoopla, I think this particular party, that's the party where Christopher Wallace, AKA Biggie Smalls, was gunned down that fateful night. And then when everything was said and done and Christopher Wallace was ultimately pronounced deceased that night, it was alleged again that Sean P. Diddy Combs didn't even go see about his friend or even went to the hospital or even traveled to the East Coast back to the New York area to go to the funeral. It was alleged that he, when that incident happened, that he went to San Francisco for some reason, all right? So there's a lot of allegations here, see what I'm saying? These freak parties that he liked to have done. Now, this is my thing. With great power comes great responsibility. This is my outlook on certain things. If I was a CEO, have a lot of money, whole bunch of investments, plus I'm a black person, African American. I don't want to say black. Well, I'm an African descendant. And then I have a community that's filled with poverty and unprivileged, you know, African American neighborhoods, communities, and things like that. If me, I'm just saying personally, if I was this powerful music exec and I had a lot of African communities out there, and instead of buying all of these cars and being fancy smancy and having these freak parties, why didn't you pump all of those resources, the money, into these underprivileged black African-American communities and created jobs like a real businessman supposed to and make a good economy for everybody? You see what I'm saying? I'm just trying to help you establish a premise. I'm trying to help you think about things here. Like, there's some people that are narcissistic. They are not truly a leader. They just want to show off, take all of the money, try to have sex with every girl that comes across them, trying to flex their muscle, do things in the background, very secretive. That's not a leader, you know. That's a snake. Snake in a high position, you know. And like I said, I ain't never really cared for Puff Daddy. You know what I'm saying? I only cared about the artists like Faith Evans, Biggie Smalls, Craig Mack, G-Dep. You know, the artists was dope. You know, I'm not going to take away the production and the management that Sean P. Diddy Combs possessed. I just feel like he was the exec that worked the music. He was not even an artist. He's not... I think he fell in love with being in the limelight, and he you know, it turned into a drug, and it spiraled out of control, just like how R. Kelly was. See what I'm saying? I'm trying to help you make the connection here when I'm trying to show you the things about P. Diddy here. You see what I'm saying? I always felt like he was behind the scenes executive, a music exec, just like Baby. You know what I'm saying? I feel like he was one of those, and he got addicted to the limelight, you know? And he was out of his lane, basically, is what I'm saying. I always looked at him like that. Freak parties, like, all of this money, and this is what you're going to do, buy a bunch of bullshit that don't mean anything. Buy mansions here, buy mansion there, buy a boat, buy a jet. Why didn't you take those resources as an African-American descent that, and as an African person or whatever you want, you know, that's his origin, obviously. And as a real business leader, you know what I'm saying, as a real person that has that power, why didn't you take those resources and pump it back into the community and create real jobs and things like that of that nature? You know, that's why I look at Sean P. Diddy Combs as a sucker. See what I'm saying? And my African people, my black people, my African Americans and my Americans, you know how I feel about these pronouns, but you know, I gotta try to tell you guys, we need to do better. We need to know how to be a leader, all right? Our freaking, our counterparts, most of our counterparts, I think damn near all of them, make way better decisions. And we just love to play this freaking high school popularity contest. Black people, we need to stop. We need to stop doing the fuckery. It doesn't make any sense. When you're in high power, when it comes with great power, it comes great responsibility. And I guess this is the karma that's biting Sean P. Diddy Combs in the ass right now. All right? So that's how I'm looking at P. Diddy. You see what I'm saying? And then you can't just blame Sean P. Diddy Combs. You gotta blame the people around him, the people that gave him that opportunity, the people that he's working with behind closed doors that we are not seeing. You see what I'm saying? We gotta blame all of those people right there, because there's young children out there in American U.S. cities. There are children out there killing each other. There are children out there making drill music about spinning the block and killing their ops. We got that going on. No leadership, no education. We don't have no brothers in colleges and universities or in the medical field. We don't even have that. Why you think our sisters are talking crazy about the black men? Black men need to do this, they need to do better. And they are right, because we don't have too many fathers. We got a bunch of kids out here doing Lord knows what. We see it every day. It's all over the news. That's why I always talk about it. I jump on different mainstream media and talk about different news all over the country. From Milwaukee to Los Angeles to goddamn Phoenix to Houston, Texas, all the way to Orlando, Philadelphia, Detroit. You see what I'm saying? New York City, Ohio. I'll go through all of their news feeds. And it's the same thing again and again. Young black teens killing each other for no reason. Running around, spinning the block. That shit looks stupid. They use, materialistic things to freaking wheel you in. You know what I'm saying? These fucking fake ass jewelry that these young kids wear today to make themselves look like they have a lot of money when they don't. All right? Most of these artists, 90% of these music artists, American rappers, artists don't have no money. I promise you. They don't have nothing. All of this shit is fake. All right? The jewelry that they wear is bullshit. Come on, man. Stop playing with me. Right? It's fucking, you know, there's all types of ways to chemistry and get precious type of metals and substances to curate these freaking fake ass illusional jewelry that got you young people acting stupid. You see what I'm saying? All of that shit is bullshit. You know why I wear jewelry? Jewelry, I don't put on jewelry like that. You might always catch me with a necklace or a gold chain or a necklace, a little ring here and there. You know, I wear nice clothes and things, but you know what I ultimately, why I wear jewelry or a necklace? It reminds me that it's time to get up out of bed and it's time to be productive. And I don't wear big, super big chains. I've done before, but that's the reason why I wear jewelry. It reminds me that, okay, this is enough sleeping, enough lallygagging. It's time to be productive. Productive meaning it's time to go make some money. It's time to create something. It's time to make something out of my time. It reminds me that I need to pray. It reminds me that I need to brush my teeth. It reminds me that I need to take a shower. You know what I'm saying? Because jewelry, it always shines, especially when you clean. It's gonna, a real piece of jewelry like gold is always going to shine. Golds pick up everything. You know, do you know that grills, the goals, the grills, do you know that's a dentist procedure for people who doesn't take care of their mouth? So the dentist, I'm telling you facts. Grills wasn't like this thing that we do today, or like we put in our mouth. Grills was a dental procedure for people who's not taking care of their mouth properly. So they put gold in their mouth, like, remember, piece of gold. I'm telling you facts. I'm telling you the real reason of grills. And gold, specifically that substance right there, it picks up everything. It picks up all types of chemicals, everything, all types of bacteria, everything. So when a gold has that, guess what? The person that has the gold in their mouth, the person is going to brush their teeth. They're going to automatically do it because, and nobody don't want no yuck mouth in their mouth because the gold pick up everything. That was the whole point of grills. See what I'm saying? When you know better, you will do better. All right. I used to wear grills, but guess what? I wasn't looking at grills to be fly. The reason that I had grills is because I went to the dentist, and the dentist was like, you got some good teeth. It looked like you take care of yourself, but you need to take care of your mouth or you're going to have a lot of complications. And he told me to come back. He took a mold in my mouth. I never knew he was making a grill. I didn't know that's what he was doing. I didn't know till when he told me, when he made a mole out of my mouth, I thought he was doing something. He was like, yeah, you're going to have to come back. Gave me, I think I had like 2 appointments. And then I think the last final appointment, he handed me something. He said, put this in your mouth. Put this, it was like a, almost like a, it was like a bottom grill. It was a bottom grill, but it was like half a bottom. He's like, put this in your mouth. Don't take it out. Leave that in your mouth. It's going to give you the notion when to clean your mouth on a day-to-day basis. And then it's going to put me in that routine habit to take care of my mouth. And then after he gave me that piece of jewelry, I went to go buy me another grill, the full bottom grill. And I got the top because it looked nice and fly and the ladies like it. But guess what? At the end of the day, I took way better care of my teeth now. I don't wear grills no more. I just take care of my teeth. See what I'm saying? So all of this fake stuff that the kids love, that you see on YouTube and all of this hip hop videos, it's all fake. Trust me, I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not lying to you. It's all fake. It's all a facade, all right? It's best to educate yourself. It's best to pick up a book and read. It's best to research, Google, do diligence. It's best for you to work and be productive. It's best to use your mind, ladies and gentlemen. Wasting time is the worst thing. You ain't never going to get it back. You definitely ain't going to get none of that shit back. All right? So, what else is going on? Fannie Willis. Yeah, let me jump back on Fannie Willis. I think there's a state representative that's filing a notion to disbar the district attorney, Fannie Willis, from her duties. On spearheading the case against Donald Trump over the January 6th insurrection. All right, so Fannie Willis. See, the thing about Fannie Willis and this Donald Trump thing, let me tell you these facts, and I already said this before. Everybody messing around. Nobody's perfect. Everybody got some shit about them. Everybody. There ain't one person on this planet that could say, oh, they perfect. They could cast the first stone. There ain't one of us that could say, we all got some shit about us. All of us. All right? So, And then on top of it, all attorneys and law degree professions, all American judicial system, they all have their own community. So it's a regular thing that an attorney is messing with another attorney, all right? The thing is, she did not try to overthrow the government. She did not break in or ran into the damn Capitol Hill and start a riot, all right? She didn't do that. She just had a boyfriend that she liked, and she was with the misappropriate of government funds or state funds. That's inadequate, all right? It's Trump with his little detectives and private investigators doing their little witch hunt to distract this whole thing with Fannie Willis. That's the best thing that I could break down to you. Now there's this representative, I didn't even put it on the screen to read it. But nah, I'm gonna just give you the information about it. That's like the one of the updates to this Fannie Willis district attorney from Fulton County over there in Georgia tobacco. See what I'm saying? And then on top of it, again, you know, that's my favorite phrase to say, on top of it, plus, on top of it, I don't really like elder females. I date younger women that's younger than me. So, but there's a fact that I could actually say. I could say this. This is a fact. Miss Fannie Willis is an elder woman, and she is attractive. Can't sit here and make a lie. You can't sit up in here and say, oh, Fannie Willis. No. She is attractive. Okay? An attractive person will always have somebody trying to talk to them. All right? She's a very attractive lady. This whole tobacco was unprecedented. It was uncalled for. This is Donald Trump, because Donald Trump has a lot of resources. He has a lot of equity. You know, this is a rich guy here. Of course, he spent his money on private investigators to investigate District Attorney Fannie Willis. And the best he came up with was the allegations of relationships and misappropriate with state funds. That is inadequate, all right? Not inaccurate, but inadequate, all right? Whatever, all right? So, see what I'm saying? Who doesn't date, all right? Everybody dates. Everybody loves company, all right? Who doesn't, all right? Everybody, I love women, of course. I would love to go on a date with a nice lady, all right? Of course, especially if we're having very high conscious conversations, very intelligent conversations and real deep conversations. Who doesn't want that? Everybody wants that, all right? When you meet somebody that grabs your attention and then helps your IQ on whatever profession that you are engaged in, just like Fannie Willis and Mr. Wade, they both are in the law. They do law, they study law. So of course, this is nothing bad. There's nothing atrocious about this. This is crazy, right? The news media, you know, like Fox Network, they have their own narratives. They don't just directly tell you the information. They always put, subconsciously, they always put their narrative, and then they put it in news mainstream media and have you thinking crazy and things like that. All right. Now, did Trump had anything to do with the January 6th insurrection? That's what everybody want to know. That's the thing, you know? And this being prolonged is it's almost like it's being prolonged all the way to the presidential election. Now, from the outside looking in, it looks like President Trump, former President Trump, it looks like he might be elected. That's what it looks like, all right? What I think about the Biden administration is the border crisis. I can't just throw that and make Biden look bad, because it's both on the Democrats and the Republicans. It's on both of them, because doggone Governor Greg Abbott, that was a political stunt as well. Sending buses of migrants to sanctuary cities and things like he caused a problem too. So you can't just like, oh, Biden is no good because of this border crisis. You know, the Republicans had a role in it too. All right, you can't freaking like what Governor Greg Abbott did was atrocious. It was not right. It was wrong. All right. And these migrants need to be vetted, and they need to be processed correctly before entry in the United States, in the country of the United States, because America is not the greatest country in the world. I'm going to be the first one to tell you that. We have a problem of getting along with each other. This country is very racist. I know it's racist. It's a very racist country. We use words like black and white, colored. We use different dialogues to describe a human being. All right? We have groups that promote hate and anarchy. All right? White supremacists, like, then we have gangbangers. We have all types of nonsense that subconsciously makes a person look at the world, the real world, in a very negative and uncognitive way, if you understand what I'm saying. All right? So America is not the one, or there's no country out there perfect. All right? And America is not perfect. All right? America has its ways too. And then on top of it, I said this before, America is a very young country. How old is America? America is like, what, 500 years old? And versus other countries that's like 4,000 years old. There's countries that's out there in Italy that's 2,500 years old. America has been established only for what, 400-500 years? These are facts. All right? So America is a young country, and America still can't get besides itself, because it still have racism. Racism exists. It's disgusting. It's pathetic. All right? This is supposed to be a democracy, all right? Just imagine in your mind if everybody had a job and everybody was properly educated, and everybody had a chance, and everybody was properly vetted in the criminal justice system, meaning that we could distinguish, we could freaking, what's the word that I'm looking for? We know how to separate the bad criminals from the good people, the good civilian people that does the right thing, that moves in the straight and narrow, that knows good from wrong. See what I'm saying? That's it. Screw the stupid ass, oh, he's black, or she's white, or he's a Muslim, or she's this. Cut all that dumb shit out. And then have a proper judicial system, a proper government that does the right thing for the public, for the people of this wonderful country. And we will move forward. We will move faster. Education is key. Why are you not funding the education system in America. Why? Why wouldn't you not fund it? Come on, that's dumb. That's stupid. If every child had a chance, just imagine how great this country would be if every child had a chance with the proper education so that child could figure her or himself out and do wonderful things and contribute to society. Just imagine that. We'll move super fast. Look at the Republic of China. They serious about education. And look how many, look at their Navy. Look at, they got the biggest Navy in the whole world. All right? They got the biggest goddamn Navy. And their technology, they keep advancing. America, the facts that I believe America has backdoor deals with other countries and especially China. All right? Look at this Singapore guy that owns TikTok. He has an innovative software programming on the TikTok platform. Something that's freaking like it's a new invention. This is like a the Singapore guy that runs TikTok. He's like the new Steve Jobs. He's like a new Steve Jobs. This TikTok, the software programming that comes along with the TikTok is unlike anything ever. So America is telling the Singapore guy to sell his platform to an American, which is very highly suspicious, all right? Doesn't make any sense at all. America have its filthy ways behind closed doors, all right? And that's the fact. It's a fact, all right? America likes control. It still has that slave mentality. Hey, I'm this is white supremacy, and you guys work for me. Fuck that, all right? They got that goddamn Adolf Hitler. They got the Adolf Hitler theory. They practice his philosophy. They know they do. Come on, man. You know you do. I'm only gonna just tell you the truth. That's it. All right? I'm only gonna tell you the truth, okay? America, you guilty as charged too, okay? Be honest. Do the right thing. Use these resources. When I say resources, I'm talking about finances and money. Use it for the right cause. All right? Why are you doing that to the African-American community? Why are you doing this? Why are you not letting an African-American go into a bank and apply for a loan, for a business loan or a house loan? Why would you do that? Why would you do that? That's a propaganda that is very spiteful and very egregious. It's un-American. All right? You give a person, an immigrant from a whole nother country, you give them the chance, you give them loans. But why would you not give the African-American community loans? Why would you distract the education system and the public school sector in the inner cities? Why are you doing that? It's obvious that you have some type of ulterior motive, okay? So it's bad. It's ugly. It doesn't look good at all. It's a fact, all right? Stop it, okay? It doesn't make any sense, all right? I don't have no hate in my heart towards another person that looks different. I don't have a hate towards Indian people. I don't have no hate towards Filipinos or Asian people, Singapore or the North Africa, Sudanese, Australians, Europeans, people from Greenland. I don't have no hate in my heart towards nobody that's from Russia, Ukraine. I don't have no hate towards no Mexicans. I love everybody. Everybody got something to put on the table. America is the biggest opioid consumer, which causes these freaking narco governments that we see in Nicaragua and freaking Honduras and all of the places. The war on drugs is what causes all of these fucking madness. All right? They could stop the flow of drugs coming into this country. The CIA knows that. They definitely could stop it. But all of the money, that's all y'all care about. You don't even give a fuck about the human life. You only cared about the money. You know? That's why we have all of these young generation that makes these god-awful decisions in their life. And they don't have no, you know, they don't got no hope at all. There's people who don't give a damn about politics. There's people that actually don't even give a damn about their neighbor. And you're supposed to have respect for yourself and your neighbor. You know? You see what I'm saying? You control music, hip-hop music, to freaking poison the minds of our children. That's your whole reason why you're doing all of this nonsense on the hip-hop music. And you know that's the truth. That's a fact. The truth will always prevail. It's the light. When you turn the lights off, you're going to be in the dark. You can't see where you're going. You're going to bump into things. You're going to trip. You can't see. You can't find what you're looking for without the light. Does that make any sense, ladies and gentlemen? I know it does. All right? So let's keep it 1,000. Give the children a chance. Stop. Look at the CIA. Look at the Pentagon. They got their hands into the Hollywood media. They got their hands into the movies that we see on the big screen. It's all about the narrative. It's all about mind control and controlling the way that you see the reality, all right? That's what it's about. I'm a very educated guy, and I'm here to talk about the truth. Anyway, I'm going to hit you off with another episode. This is another one that I put out there. I'm watching some streams. I'm trying to keep up with the college women basketball. You already know that I keep up with it. Shout out to Juju Watkins, the next future basketball woman legend. I think she's going to be great. She's going to be awesome. Georgia Amor, she's another phenomenal basketball, female college basketball player. She's dope as fuck. You got a lot of one, Caitlin Clark. There's another one, Caitlin Kitts, I think. She played for Virginia Tech alongside with Georgia Amor. All right. Remember Aaliyah Boston? I believe she played for South Carolina. Or Ole Miss, one of the two, I can't remember because I don't want to give the wrong information. But Aaliyah Boston got drafted into the WNBA. Last year she was a senior. She did phenomenal, you know, right? South Carolina is the one, I think they're on the one seed. See what I'm saying? Then you got Angel Reese. She's dope. And then you got the other girls. I can't remember their name right now. You know what I'm saying? There's another one. Kaylee Van Litt. She used to play for freaking St. Louis. She used to play for Louisville. And then she transferred to the LSU. She's playing with Angel Reese. Kaylee Van Litt. I probably said her first name wrong, but her last name is like Van Litt, little white girl. She used to play for Louisville. She's another super dope-ass basketball player. And there's more. I just can't remember their name. I'm just telling you about the names that's popping up in my head right now, you know? And I'm trying to get into some more news. And then remember, I told you that I'm going to try to hit you off with like an hour episode, 40 minutes the least, trying to give you 50 minutes. 30 minutes is, yeah, sometimes I'm going to do 30 minutes. All right. But that's the least I'm going to go on a podcast episode is 30 minutes. That's like small potatoes there, you know. And then from studying the analytics, because I've been doing this for like a year, it's best for me to do like an hour podcasting, because people that's occupied at their job. Most people, majority of us, listen to the podcast, and there's people that want to keep up with the Hollywood gossip, and they want to keep up with the news at the same time, and they want to hear somebody else's opinion about our government and other governments all over the globe. They want to hear about new innovative technologies that's being created. Like, there's a new car. I forgot the name of the car. I think it's a Japanese company, I believe. They got a way better, how you call it, those cars, those battery vehicles that runs on the battery powered vehicles, just like Tesla. There's a car that's better than Tesla. It could go 600 miles without being charged. Teslas are not that great. The best Tesla car is like 500, I think. The best, the real expensive one, I can't remember the specific Tesla, but the most expensive Tesla only could go, what, I think, not even 500, I believe 400 is the max. Not even 500, it's 400. I'm sure, I know what I'm talking about, because I think the other car, electric car that I'm talking about, is called BYU or some shit like that. It's a Japanese company, or it might be a Chinese company, but they got way better electric cars than they got Tesla, better than Tesla. You know what I'm saying? They the next innovation. I don't know if they're gonna make it to the American economy. I don't know, because America is an iffy place. You see, they mad as fuck. They want part of that TikTok. And I told you already, TikTok has a software program I've never seen before. And I'm into computers. I studied computer science. I've been studying computer science all my life. So I know about a lot of crazy shit. Like, Steve Jobs was another fucking anomaly, nigga. Like, I felt like they killed him because he had this super crazy technology in Apple. Like, that shit was super crazy. You see what I'm saying? He changed the whole fucking game. So I felt like there's some type of conspiracy behind his death. Just like Bob Lee, the creator of Cash App, I believe there's some sort of conspiracy behind Bob Lee's death, all right? Because Cash App changed everything. Before Cash App, what the fuck we used to do? We used to fucking use a Western Union and this shit. And now a motherfucker could send money simply from one touch on his or her phone. Now look at TikTok. Oh my God. You could easily be a fucking influencer, a freaking documentary type of person. You could simply have your own show, your own content, you know? And TikTok is the leading innovation of freaking content creator. It's the best thing I ever seen in my life. You can't do one tenth of the shit on TikTok, on Instagram. No, you can't. You know damn well you can't do that shit. It's gonna look fucking mediocre. It's not gonna be special. You know, a content creator can make special things on TikTok. They can make a lot of video coverage. And they could speak their truth and talk their own lingo. There's nothing better than that. And you could play music. What's better than that? That's why the music companies are going crazy. They're like, oh, they want a piece of TikTok. It's the biggest thing ever, you know? And then on top of it, I'm sorry I have to say this, back all the way in 2017, my friends and my fellow musicians and there's this girl, she's into computer. She's from Puerto Rico. She's my homegirl. She live in Florida. She been fighting with me to be on TikTok. She's like, nigga, you need to go on TikTok. Nigga, you need to do podcasting. She was fighting with me for years. I never got into it. Last year I got into it because I was learning about it. Like, in 2020, I started doing due diligence, learning about doing casting, podcast streaming. I was learning about video editing. I was getting into it. I was getting into how to talk about different subjects and topics on the microphone and everything. I was learning about hardware and software programming, which is going to take a long time to study and shit. It took me months and months and months. So I wish I wish I was doing podcasting since 2019. I think I would have been real far ahead. Now I'm playing catch up. But at the end of the day, I'm still innovative in the way that I do my creating. All right. My intellectual property is different from everybody else. That's why I'm not worried about the saturated podcast community, because the podcast community is very saturated with too. A lot of people, I think everybody and their mama think they could do podcasting. I'm not worried about that, because not everybody could articulate and talk for a living. I know that for sure. So, you know what I'm saying? And then I got two colleagues of mine that are way better than me. You know what I'm saying? Two women, two black women at that. All right. I don't like to describe nobody as color like black. I'm going to keep repeating the same shit. But I got two women that know how to do it. They got some super hard interview skills, and they definitely know how to research and get the truth. All right. You think Candace Owens is tough? I know somebody else. All right. As soon as I get this thing up and running, this business, this platform up and running, Thinking Out Loud with your man Ben Pharrell, as soon as I get that platform up and running and the finances come through, I'm going to get these two interviews and we're going to work this shit out. And I promise you, you're going to love every moment of it. All right? Because these women that I'm talking about, they know how to interview and they know how to have a conversation. They definitely know what type of questions to ask you, most definitely. And they do a lot of research, all right? 9 out of 10, I probably have to be the producer and I have to be the software programmer. I know for sure there's not a software programmer more innovative than me. I know there ain't. There's some software programmers out there that's vicious. That's a fact. But, bro, I'm wicked. I'm like the Swiss Beats of engineering, production, and software programming. So I'm that guy. But that doesn't mean I'm going to fuck with you just because you reach out to me to help you out with your platform. That doesn't mean that I'm going to help you. All right? Not at all. The two colleagues that I'm speaking of course, I'm going to help them too, because they deserve it. And I know them very well. I know their mind. I know how they operate. And I know I'm the perfect engineer, production, software programmer that's going to meet their needs, their qualifications, all right? These two ladies, I'm trying to tell you, they know what type of questions to ask. They know how to act, and they know how to make you feel comfortable, all right? And then beauty, both of them are not ugly. I don't even believe in the word ugly. But both of the women are extremely beautiful, so I already know y'all going to pay attention to them, and they know how to talk. And the thing about ugly and beauty, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Once again, beauty, for a person to be beautiful, that means the person know how to take care of themselves. They know how to properly vet their body and their skin, and they know how to take care of it and clean it well and make it right. And they know the levels of oil in your skin. They know everything about health. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Now, if you're ugly, that is your fault. Do not blame Father God for that. God has nothing to do with ugly. If you look ugly, it's totally your fault. Or blame your parents. You know what I'm saying? Because you wasn't properly taken care of. All right? If you look fucked up, it's all your fault. You need to blame yourself. And you need to go educate yourself in how to take care of yourself so you can be pretty yourself. All right? You don't have to do no fucking surgery to look good. That's bullshit. All right? Fuck that. All right? No such thing. This fucking mascara and foundation and the eyelashes is ridiculous. All right? There's some very intelligent men out there. I'm telling you, not some, but I'm pretty sure there's a good portion out there where we just need more intelligent guys. But there's guys such as myself, you know what I'm saying? We see right through that bullshit. The mascara, the eyelashes, that's not going to help you get a man, ladies, okay? Motivate yourself to enlighten yourself about yourself and life, all right? I'm pretty sure everything is going to come real easy. Anyway, I'm going to talk to you later. This is your man, Benz Pharrell. You already know what to do. Just go to the search engine, either or, TikTok, Instagram. Just go on the search engine, click on that, type Box Benji. That is B-O-X-B-E-N-J-I. B as in Bob, ladies and gentlemen, Box Benji. And you're going to find me. Follow me on TikTok. Follow me on Instagram. I'm mostly I'm active on TikTok and my Thinking Out Loud podcast platform. So I'm going to talk to you later. I'm going to hit you with another episode. You people have a good night or a good day or whatever. And I'm going to hit you all. Peace. So long.